The second half of Smarter Egg this evening is an interview.
You all to give a good Smarter Egg's Apple White Horse welcome to our red chair guest for tonight, Jimmy and Keith. So, Jillian, I guess most of the people in the room tonight would know you primarily in your role as the president of Cork Chamber. But I guess I'm just going to start off by asking you a little bit about what your day job is and what it is you do when you're not in that chamber role.
Okay, my day job is the official line's corporate lawyer. So I am basically involved in any companies who are looking for investment or considering buying into another company or selling their own business. But I must say, unofficially, I related very much to Miriam's picture of the woman flat on the floor. Because most of the time it's crazy, crazy, crazy for 3 weeks because you're on a transaction, and then there's the, oh, jeepers, I'll never do that again. And then within a few days, you're doing it all again. So that's both the official and the unofficial line.
Okay. Well, those lines are what we're looking for. So I'm curious, when you were a little girl, let's say 6 or 7 years of age, what did you want to be?
At 6 or 7, I probably wanted to be a nurse, but I moved very quickly from that. So by the time I was 15, I had a very clear idea of what I wanted to do. And that's what I'm doing, without the chamber piece.
Sure.
So I just, for as long as I can remember, wanted to be a lawyer. I don't know whether that was a combination of was it Ally McBeal or sure, we can all relate to those kind of glamorous ones who look like, you know, it's all easy and very lucrative and all that.
Yeah.
So but I don't know, I think seriously it was probably an awareness that I liked listening, I liked talking, and I just had an idea that that would suit me.
Do you watch shows like, let's say, The Good Wife and things like that, or do you avoid all legal dramas or even the television?
So The Good Wife didn't sound a bit legal to me, so I gather
okay.
I don't watch that.
Okay.
Sure, I get sucked into some kind of series from time
sure.
to time, but legal ones, not necessarily, but I'm not averse to them.
And does any of it bear any resemblance to the world you live in every day?
No. I've yet to see anything on television that bears resemblance to anybody's life that I know, not just my own. So.
Well, here's an opportunity for filmmakers all over the world after the going down in South Mall. Tell us about your school days, though. Did success come easy to you? Were you a natural student?
I was never a natural student in an academic sense, but success, if that's what I have now, certainly came easy to me because of the school that I went to. And I think that's because, more than anything else, the key thing in the school that I went to was all about believing in yourself
mm-hmm.
and having confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So that while you don't have to be a straight-A student, if you've got the confidence to know that you can get there, you might, you know, you may not be the person who wakes up in the morning and understands the issue just like that. But if you're the kind of person who's confident enough to inquire and astute enough to listen to the answers and confident in yourself that you will know which pieces go with which, then you can do almost anything. And certainly that was the ethos that I had in the school that I went to, and that's just been the bedrock of everything
yeah.
I've done since.
So it sounds like your parents' choice of school was a significant path-setting moment for you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So tell us, from, let's say, those forming school days right up to the work you're doing today, what kind of path did you follow? Was it conventional, or was it, you know, how did that work out?
Probably not. You're definitely intent on showing me up on the academic side. So I wanted to do law, as I said, since I was about 15, and at the time when I was doing it, I think it was like 25 points. Most people in the room probably won't even know what that means, but anyway, it was 25 points, and I think I got something like 21. So I have a choice: would I repeat my leaving cert, or would I just do something else to kind of build on what I might do later on? So I did an arts degree first. I did economics and French, and then I went straight on afterwards, still committed to doing law and studied law. So you had to do it as an occasional student for a year, because the way the CAO thing went. And then I didn't get it on interview, so I was applying then as a mature student, which meant you were over 24. And I didn't get it then on my first interview. And I was just devastated. This was just the end of the world. It was way worse than not getting points in the Leaving Cert, because then I had a plan. But then when I didn't get this interview, I felt, Jesus, you know, there is no, this is plan C now. I have no plan C. But I pestered them to put me on a wait list in case a place came up for a mature student. And sure enough, somebody dropped out and there was my place. So, yeah. It was certainly unconventional.
You never found out their name, so you
no.
Box of roses or something.
No, I never dropped them that yet.
And as your career has developed, who would you say has had the, let's say, the biggest influence? Which individual would have had the biggest influence?
On my career? I would say two people, probably. A woman that I worked with in my first job. She was my boss, but she was only a few years older than me, and this was in a large corporate law firm in Dublin, and she was just super tough but super efficient and was really committed to what she was doing and delivering a brilliant service for people. So she definitely influenced me in the early years in my law career, but I suppose on the business side of things then definitely my father would have been a huge influence, yeah.
Tell us a bit about your dad. What kind of stuff did he do, and what business was he in, etc.?
I suppose, you know, he was just, he was a businessman in the truest sense, or kind of in the old-fashioned sense, where it was, you know, very much about knocking on doors, looking for contracts, making contacts, building on those contacts, then, you know, working on the contract, making sure it delivered the job at the end of the day, and employing people in really challenging times. So we're challenging times now, but there were also challenging times, you know, 25, 30 years ago. And, you know, he used to work away an awful lot. And we just saw real grit, real determination, and a real understanding that it's not just about talking the deal, it's about getting the deal and then delivering on the deal. So certainly he influenced me hugely on that side.
And would you see, do you notice some of his, say, characteristics or ethos coming through in how you operate?
Definitely the hard work piece.
Yeah.
Because I suppose most of, same for everybody, like most of what you get today is from sheer hard work, determination and grit. You know, luck certainly plays a part, opportunity plays a part, but at the end of the day, it won't come together without the hard work.
Would you consider yourself as a lucky person in general, or would you classify it?
Did that trip through law a minute ago sound lucky?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So when you're not being a successful lawyer, etc., how do you spend your time?
Is that pre-chamber or post?
Yeah. Excluding time.
So excluding the chamber piece, which takes a lot of time now, I in recent years I've got a great love for sport and activity, which again, you know, certainly wasn't with me kind of growing up. I used to spend in the school that I went to, you could play table tennis, which let's face it, isn't exciting to most people, or you could play hockey. And I used to spend my Friday afternoons working out how I was going to get out of hockey. So sport definitely didn't come naturally to me, but in the last 5 years, I've, you know, just really enjoyed the time out and cycling and rolling and just getting my head square.
Right.
So it's great release, yeah.
Super. Well, it's not a good night for cycling, judging by the rain hopping
no,
up.
No, it hasn't been a good night for a while, which
no,
is the depressing.
Really, isn't it? Yeah. So I'd like you to come back to a moment in time where thought popped into your head that was something along the lines of, you know, Gillian, I could be chamber president. Do you remember when that first crazy idea popped into your to your mind?
I remember when I was asked if I would consider it, and you know, like a lot of women, I think it's well sort of publicized now at this stage that our first reaction is, you know, I can't. So that was my first reaction. It was kind of a case of surely they could find somebody better than me. But I played around with it a little bit in my head and asked a few people. And I was very conscious that certain people were clearly confident that I could do it. So then it was back to that school thing, I suppose. I just said, you know what, I bet you're as good as anybody else, so go for it, give it a shot.
Yeah. And when you, I suppose you're a year into that role now, right?
Yeah.
And how do you think being in that role has changed how other people see you and interact with you?
That's interesting, because some people respond to it, or respond to me in that role, hugely positively. Like the goodwill from the get-go has been incredible, and that has really, really helped me, especially in the first few months, when you're very much grappling with, you know, you're still trying to get through, can I do this, am I doing it right, you know, you're still worried about what people think about you as opposed to sort of relying on your own instinct. So that was hugely positive and very, very helpful. But I still believe that we're still not away from the position where sometimes people think because it's a woman in the role that you're maybe playing with it a little bit. It's very much a minority, but you know, there is that reaction as well.
So explain to me what you mean by playing with it. What is that?
That maybe, you know, it's not taken as seriously with the woman in the role. I still think, you know, we're grappling with that a little bit.
Yeah. And when would you get that sense? Is it in certain meetings or just in certain
just
the language
interactions
that people use and
yeah,
so on?
It's just interactions with people.
Yeah.
We all have that sense where you know somebody isn't quite meeting you eye to eye.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you can always say, oh, it was because she said, because it's not always a he, you know, so it was because she said that or he said that. It's just that sense.
Yeah.
You can, when it's happening, you can
yeah.
almost touch it.
Yeah.
But as I said, that's very much the minority, but
sure.
You know, it's still there.
And when the, you know, when let's say a year ago when you were being sworn in, is that the correct term? I'm not sure. when the chain is handed over. You know, there was a lot of buzz at the time that, you know, you were the first female president in almost 200 years of the entity. And what was your kind of reaction to that publicity? How did you find yourself reacting to it?
It's hard, really, because, you know, having a woman in a role like this is important for lots of people. Excuse me, men and women. And you don't want to in any way undermine that, or you don't want to belittle that at all, because it is important. But at the same time, you know, for the person who's stepping into the role, you're doing it not because you're a woman, you're doing it because you think or people think or have faith in the fact that you're the right person for the job. And it's very important that we don't get away from that. Because otherwise, sometimes having women in positions of leadership can be seen as, you know, a favour to women, which it should not be, and in fairness, usually never is. But if you talk up, you know, this first female, you know, first woman, it's almost like, you know, well done from the chamber, we've got a woman in the room. It shouldn't be about that. It should be about having the best person to do the job.
Why do you think it took 200 years for that to happen?
Well, in fairness, it was only by accident or sort of, I suppose, tragedy, really, that I was the first woman. There was a really, really capable woman, Hilary Wolfe, who was a partner in PwC, who was vice president, so she would have, all things being equal, ultimately been the president of the chamber, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she got very ill. So,
And how has, let's say, the year impacted you? For example, what have you learned about yourself from being in that role and being out and about and doing all these things?
What have I learned about myself? I have learned that I have some good ideas and that I have a different view than people who have gone before me, and that's what makes it exciting from the Chamber's perspective. It may not be the right view, but it's a different view, and I have the sort of courage of my convictions in that view to explore it with people, and that opens to Chamber and me personally wouldn't happen otherwise. I was built on the confidence in myself, definitely. I've also realised, which is something I always kind of struggled with, not to take myself too seriously, because sometimes I get it really, really, really wrong. And you just have to be able to move on from that and not stress about it and rethink it and overanalyse it and just become totally paralysed from the analysis. So I just learned to take myself less seriously. And sometimes things go wrong and flick it,
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of it happens in these sessions as well. So give us a sense of the kind of things that you do in that role, because people kind of hear the title and they go, amazing, but they may not have a sense of what exactly is expected of you on a daily or weekly basis. What kind of things
So it's just mind-blowing, in fairness to the Chamber, and this is not just talking about the Chamber, there'll be lots of people here who know. And it's like everything else, until you really become involved with something or you really engage with something, you don't really appreciate what's happening there. So I always take the example of, it's like red wine, the first time you taste red wine, it doesn't taste so great at all. But the more you taste it and the more you get to know about it and different things about it, the more you like it. So, and the more you appreciate it. So definitely the more I engaged with the Chamber, the more I understood what was happening there and the kind of level of commitment and the work that was going on. But really, it wasn't until the last year that I've kind of really seen it firsthand. So there's a mix of it, a focus within the Chamber. So there's a huge, huge piece around the policy piece, and that's all about, what's good for Ireland, what's good for the region that Cork is in, and what's good for Cork, and then what's good for all of the member businesses who are based in Cork. And that's everything from, making sure that we have the right kind of fibre connectivity, to making sure we have a functioning airport, to making sure that we're attractive for IDA companies, to making sure, and all of this making sure stuff takes a huge amount of understanding the opportunities for this region and then understanding the challenges and how we can address them. And so there's an incredible full-time team of people who are employed by the Chamber who do that. But then beyond that, there's a huge amount of volunteers who give up their time because they know it's good for their business and what's good, they know it's good for the region, and what's good for the region is good for their business. So I attend an awful lot of policy meetings, so internally in the Chamber, and then also meeting Secretaries General of various government departments, meeting various government ministers. And that, for somebody like me, is firstly hugely outside of anything I'd ordinarily know anything about. I've never had any kind of political allegiances. I've never really got engaged with in politics at any serious level. So that has been an incredible eye-opener. Positively, in some ways, you do see that things do get done and that people do care about what happens here. And then, very frustrating because it's slow, slow, slow when you don't, when you're used to running your own business or working in your own business where, you make a decision and then it's boom, boom, boom until it happens. This is like, there's a method and there's a way around it and there's certain protocol and, everything takes longer than you expect. But while you could get frustrated with that and throw your hands up in the air after the first meeting and say, look, forget that because they're never going to do anything and I'm just not interested and I couldn't waste my time. And sometimes that was my initial reaction. But nothing would ever get done then.
Yeah.
So you have to build up the patience within yourself to continuously do that. So that's one element of it. And then there's there's the whole engaging with members, which is really interesting. So you go into kind of networking events and that, where you get to hear people's stories and understand more about their businesses. And that's really beneficial for me because, you know, I...